Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was an elderly Christian lady who went to a Christian conference one time. It was the first Christian conference that she'd ever been to that contained people from other denominations. And so she was very excited, and she enjoyed getting to know the traditions of the various people that were there. And she was especially excited about the speaker. One of the things that the speaker said at the conference was that he encouraged everyone not to greet one another with the normal greetings that they would use, but instead use the greeting that was used by the early church, which is the word Maranatha. Maranatha is an Aramaic word which means the Lord is coming. So in other words, you're going to be saying hello to people by saying Maranatha and encouraging them to remember that the Lord is coming. And so this lady thought this was great, and so the next morning she got up and she went to greet someone, but she got kind of confused and she said, "Marijuana, brother, marijuana." Well, a lot of people are kind of confused about the second coming of Christ, and certainly that's the case perhaps about a couple of priests who were standing beside the road, and they were holding up a sign which said, "The end is near, turn around now while you still have time." And so one guy drove by and rolled down his window and said, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts." And he drove off, and the priest heard screeching of tires and a crash. And one priest turned to the other and he said, "Do you think we should have held up a sign which said, 'The bridge is out,' instead?" Well, there's a lot of confusion about the second coming of Christ, but for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be hearing readings related to the second coming of Christ. And those readings really are in preparation for what we call the second advent of Christ. We're getting ready, of course, next week to celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. And that will be a time which we begin to focus on the two different comings of Christ. We focus first upon the second coming of Christ, or his second advent, and then we get in preparation to celebrate the first coming of Christ, of course, at his birth. And so our lessons today speak about the second coming of Christ. And the Old Testament lesson, of course, is from Daniel. And God is speaking a vision to Daniel. And Daniel, as he gets this vision from God, sees the Son of Man coming on the clouds and appearing before the Ancient of Days. Now, the Ancient of Days is a reference to God the Father. And so the Son of Man, of course, is a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus himself referred to himself as the Son of Man. And so the Son of Man is appearing before the Ancient of Days, and he is receiving the authority and the power to come to establish his kingdom here on earth. We call this particular Sunday Christ the King Sunday. It's a Sunday in which we recognize and honor Christ as our King of Kings and as our Lord of Lords, but also as we prepare for his eventual setting up of the kingdom that he is bringing to us. And his kingdom, of course, as he said in the gospel today, is not from this world. The kingdom is rather from another world. The kingdom is coming from heaven. And so in our second lesson from Revelation, John is given a vision by Jesus Christ. And that vision is a vision of things that are to come when the eventual second advent or second return of Christ happens. So if you wouldn't mind turning to Revelation chapter 1, our second lesson for today, and that's in the Pew Bibles in page 1913. That's right before the Book of Concordance in the back. Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And John begins by writing the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 said, "The blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Now go down to verse 7. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him, so shall it be. Amen. Now, some people kind of think that this is talking about the rapture of the church, where the church is caught up in the air in the great rapture when Christ comes back, and then they meet the Lord in the air. But this really is not talking about that, and we know that he's not talking about that, because it says that every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all will mourn because of what happened to Christ by his death on the cross. It's interesting that in verse 8 we read these words, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was, who is, and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus is describing himself in words that the Jews would have recognized would only be used by God himself, would only be used to describe God. And so Jesus, by calling himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, or by calling himself the Lord God, or calling himself the Almighty, would be associating himself and identifying himself with God, And so by doing so, he was really saying, "I am God, and I am coming back to this earth." And so Jesus, as he is preparing for this return, is saying that he, the God-man, is going to be coming back to establish his kingdom on earth and to prepare for the new heavens and the new earth, as the book of Revelation later talks about. Now, this new heaven and this new earth that Christ will be ushering in will be replacing the old heaven and the old earth, which has been infected by sin, and as a result is in the process of decaying, breaking down, and ultimately will be dying. And so as Christ is preparing for his second return, his second advent, then he is coming at a time in the future. Now, there are two schools of thought about when Christ will come back. One is that he will come back in kind of a secret return, in which the church will be raptured up in the air, and they will join him and return back with him to heaven until that time that he comes back again. And certainly that idea is kind of embraced, if you will, in the New Testament, and certainly in the Gospel of Matthew and in the book of Revelation, which talks about the coming of the Antichrist. And many people believe that when the Antichrist will come, he will be viewed by the world as their savior, as the one who is going to save the world from the chaos it's in. And so this Antichrist will come, and so the view of some is that the church will be protected from the Antichrist when he comes at the beginning of this 7-year tribulation period. And as they're protected from him, they will be caught up in the air to be with Christ, and then return with Christ when he comes again at his visible second coming, when every eye will see him. Others believe that the church will have to go through the tribulation period, and that God will protect them through that tribulation period. And when Christ comes back again, then the faithful in Christ will be caught up in the air to be with him, and will return immediately with Christ to establish his kingdom here on earth, and to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Listen to how St. Peter puts it in his second epistle. In fact, if you wouldn't mind turning there in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and that's in verse 1 on page 1896 in the Pew Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And Peter is really describing the second coming of Christ. And he says this in verse 1. "Dear friends, this now is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." Verse 3, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Verse 8, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some would understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Verse 11 says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Now, some might think that since Christ has not come back yet, and since surely he would have come back by now, that he's not going to come back, and so why do we need to look forward to his return? But Peter is very adamant about the fact that because Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, because Christ said that he would come back again, Peter declares emphatically that Christ will come back at the right time. Christ will come back when he chooses to, so that everyone to whom are called to the kingdom of God will have the opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. And so when Christ comes back again, he will come back at just the right time. And certainly, we never know when Christ will come back again. He could come back at our own death, when we die. We never know when that's going to be. He might come back at the rapture, if that's what happens. And he might come back at his second coming, when he comes back at the end of time. So whenever Christ comes back, the real question for us is, are we ready for his return? Are we ready for him to come back again? And certainly, those are questions that we need to ask ourselves in all sincerity. Peter says, in order to be ready, we need to live a holy and godly life. And the way we do that, obviously, looking at the rest of the New Testament, is by drawing closer to Jesus Christ and by allowing the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us into living a more holy and godly life. So I want to encourage you, perhaps this week, to begin to think about how can I live a more holy and godly life. One of the things you might think about doing is praying more. Praying more during the day, praying more during the week, whatever the case may be. Another thing you might think about doing is perhaps refraining from gossip or criticism. You might think about perhaps doing something unselfishly for someone else. Or maybe you might think about treating someone in the way that Christ would want you to treat them, who maybe you think don't deserve to be treated that way. To treat someone with the love of Christ, when maybe they don't even deserve to be treated that way. Whatever you do, I would encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help lead you and guide you into living a more holy and godly life. And in that way, we'll be even more prepared for the second coming of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live the perfect life in our place and to die, so that we might have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven and to be caught up in the air when he comes back again. Lord, we thank you that he will return in power and glory to set up his kingdom. We thank you that he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to live our lives in preparation for his return. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might live in a way that would reflect the holiness and godliness about which Peter speaks today. Give us the ability to be a reflection of the love of Christ with all of those with whom we meet in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.